I don't know about you, but every time I hear that song, it just wells in my spirit about how excellent He is in our lives. Glory to God. He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy to be praised. Almost had to singing because my voice was getting hoarse. I said, wait a minute, now I'm not down there. Let me save my voice for preaching. But that's just what the Spirit and that's what Jesus does. You just want to give your all because He gave His all for us. And even on our best day, even in our loudest voice, it still is not comparing to what He has done for us. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Without Him, I am nothing. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. It is Him that I live, move, and have my being. To the visionary and the angel of this house, Pastor Warner, thank God for him and his leadership. Reverend Dr. Holt in her absence. Minister Tyree in his absence. 2/3 of my children in their absence. This is basketball season, so it's going to get a little crazy, a little hectic, but God is good. I just want, you know, before I get into the scripture, I wanted to talk about this past weekend. Yesterday in particular, we went to, Sister Paul and I were at the Mill Creek Women's Retreat. And as much as I was contemplating and saying, okay, I got to preach and, you know, let's not let it be just another run of the mill, I was so glad that I decided to go. Amen. The Lord did so many things and He brought so many things to confirmation, and it was just such an authentic and sweet spirit in the place that I was saddened that not more of our sisters could experience that. So I would just implore you, the next time that we have such a gathering, when we have opportunities to get together as women in Christ, not forsaking any of our assemblies, but particularly as women of God, to please do whatever you can to attend, to be in that presence, because God did some wonderful things. I know, and I can speak for only myself, but I know that He has done, if He did it for me, He did it for the next sister next to me and everybody else that was in there. So I just wanted to put that out there that they represented. They even had a sister out there performing the worship music. It was just an authentic spirit. So, again, it was a wonderful time. The scripture that was lifted up in our reading earlier today was from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And it reads, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God, that it may be clearly seen that their deeds had been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. And the scripture that I wanted to preach and lift up in your hearing today is from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the title of my sermon today is called Take the Limits Off. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for another opportunity to stand behind your sacred desk. God, I thank you for allowing me to be who I am in you. God, I thank you for the revelations that you have given me, knowing that all I need to do is rest in you. God, I thank you for believing. And I thank you for your son and your gift that you have given us. God, as I preach this word, God, I ask for me to step down and you to step forward. For if I am preaching, the people will not hear. So if it's from you, oh God, I pray that the words that are coming from my mouth are said with boldness, conviction, and an unction for someone who does not know you to want to know, what must I do to be saved? God, I thank you, I honor you, and I praise you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. So as I was saying earlier, that this whole weekend just did a confirmation for this word on today. Everything, even from the Sunday school, went into and just flowing, and I just thank God for the Holy Spirit. As we get deeper and deeper into this Lenten season, and I don't know why this Lenten season in particular, it's been resonating more and more in my mind of how much I am not. How much I have been limiting myself. How much I've been limited in my thinking. How much I've been limited in my giving. How much I've been given limited in my loving, in receiving. And more, I just thank God for knowing that I am because I am not, because I have not been holding on to the promises that God has for me. I have not been taking advantage of the gift, of the basic gift of salvation, and the promises and the power and the limitation and the limitlessness that is within it. And with that, I was, sulking around a little bit, and I guess this is what we need to do during this Lenten time, right? Reflect on ourselves and what we're doing. But God was like, before you blow that balloon in this pity party, you need to know that you're not by yourself. Because I know there's at least one other person in here that is in the same predicament, in the same boat that I'm in. I know that sometimes when we go day to day and think about ourselves and how we go about doing things, and we just settle because we said, that's just the way I am. And I just, even in the ironing this morning, this is a sidebar, but letting God in just the little things, you can hear him so clearly. And in my ironing this morning, iron it. I hate to iron, first and foremost, okay? I'm all about shake and go. If I could take it out the closet, shake it, and put it on, I'm good to go. But I pulled out this dress, and I was like, okay, Lord, I got to iron, because I don't want to look like I came out the washing machine. So let me just put some steam on it. But as I was ironing, God was showing me that, you know, sometimes, again, when I have an outfit on that has wrinkles in it, I'll say, okay, it'll just fall out. Mm-hmm. It's all good. I'm sitting down. I ain't going to know the difference. But God is saying, you are not showing the full potential of that outfit. That was deep, right? And ironing. You are doing that outfit a disservice.
Come on.
Because you have not laid it out and you have not ironed and not have given it and not have presented it the way that it's supposed to be presented. And that's how it's kind of how we go about doing ourselves, right? We accept the things in the way that we are, right? We sit all wrinkled up and saying, this is just the way that I am.
Yes.
We give ourselves these limitations. And God is sitting here with a full-blown steam cleaner waiting for us. But we were like, no, God, I got it. I'm gonna do this myself. I'm gonna iron it out. I'm gonna put some books on it. I'm going. But God is sitting there waiting, and He's given us, and He gives us this gift that we have that we need to take advantage of, right? Because we do things on our own. And I'm just personal testimony. Even in my preaching. In my preparation time, I would be up till 4 and 5 in the morning writing out every single word that I was going to say. I would say, yeah, I'm wrestling with God. I got to have everything down. And God is already trying to tell me what to say. And I'm like, that's nice, God. But you know, all this 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, you see what I got here? This is what we're going to preach. I think you just said enough, God. Thank you. Appreciate your help. But I was doing things in my own strength. And I realized that how we go about from day to day in doing the things that we do, we often cut ourselves so short, particularly as people who are in Jesus Christ. We do it the most. We can't tell the difference between us and those who are not saved. We're supposed to have some type of distinction in how we live our lives. And when I think about it and I get saddened and I'm like, oh my gosh, how have I been doing this for the past 44 years? I need to figure out what I need. I got to do things a little differently. God is showing us that even in the basic scripture of John 3:16, that the salvation that He had provided, the gift that He had waiting for us, we are doing too much on our own. That's why it's time to take the limits off. We have to stop thinking from a limited perspective. We have to stop thinking from a calendar or for a time or from just a day-to-day perspective. I know we want to schedule stuff. I know we want to do things in a certain fashion, but we don't allow God enough room to do what He needs to do.
Amen. Amen.
And taking the limits off allows us to experience the fullness of God in our thinking, in our doing. And it's so bad that we even put limitation on others. We aren't only doing that, but we also tell people how they should think. Tell people how much they're worth. We're in Women's History Month. If we wouldn't have a Black History Month or a Women's History Month if the world did not function in limitation. Everything that we do, everything that we say, and how it affects others puts limitation on other folks. So I'm glad today because even in looking at the lectionary, and after I finished and kind of put my outline together, and I wanted to read the lectionary to see what it is, and this is one of the scriptures within it, but the subject matter and the theme of this week is called recovery. This is a rehab series, so every week there's a theme. And it says, today we celebrate what it means to continue into the stage of rehab, where we start to see some real recovery taking place. We're not all the way there, any more than we're at Easter and just the fourth Sunday in Lent. And indeed, the degree to which we may start to experience recovery during rehab is often mirrored by a nearly equal sense of how far we still have to go, what is still not working as it should, or in this case, how we are still living out sinful, destructive patterns of behavior that still need to be addressed, but we still have some reason to rejoice. Say we have hope. And I thank God for allowing us to even, and I was like, well, how? Because this is Commitment Sunday, and I just want to pray, and I pray that as you are writing on the cards and as you are praying to God what it is that you are to give, to think, to renew your mind and in your thinking, in taking the limits off. Because how you go about doing things is acted out on how you treat others and how and what you give and what you do. So if we change our thinking, taking the limits off our thinking, you will see the fullness and the bountifulness of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I thank God for John 3:16 again, because it is one of the most basic and wonderful scriptures that is the foundation of our faith. He says in his, and it shows that how limitless God is. God is limitless. And because he is our Father, we do claim God, right, as our Father, right? And we are supposed to do things as our parents do. Am I correct? If he is a God of no limit, then why are his children still living limitless? In John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God will show us how he is limitless. And I pray that as I walk through the limitless points that God and attributes that God has shown, that we begin to take on the same likeness. God has shown us limitless love, right? So for God so loved the world. This is the world that he created, right? This is the world that he created from the beginning. Before the earth were even formed, he already knew what he was going to create. When he put those things into being, it took 6 days and a day of rest. And he called it all good. Right? The birds, and he knew where everything was going to be placed. He knew exactly how things was going to flow. He even created a nice little sanctuary called the Garden of Eden, where it was good living and good eating. Limitless supply. And then somebody named Adam and Eve. Man and woman, humankind, decided to sin. And we've been doing it ever since. This is the world that he created, the one that he wanted bountiful for us. But we decided to do otherwise. But he still continued to love us in spite of us. Over and over and over again, even to this day, that's why it's loved, because he know even when we're doing stuff today,
yes,
when we're not in our right mind, when we're not in the places that we need to be, he loves us, and his arms are open for us. so that we can come into his into his arms and reconcile with him when we recognize that we've done wrong. The weekend, the retreat was Love Lifted Me. I think that was the theme. But it was talking about the depth and the breadth and the width of God's love and how we really do not, cannot even fathom because we're so limited in our thinking. In Ephesians 3, starting at verse 17, Paul was saying to the church of Ephesus, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, because these people were loving, but they weren't understanding the breadth and the depth of God's love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's taking the limits off. In our love, we have limits on how we deal with people. We have limits on how we love one another. But when we, and that's when we are limited in that, that means we're apart from God. Because if our Father is limitless and we're connected to a limitless Father, the love that we have that flows through us should have no beginning or end. We're so stuck in wanting to go back and pull a tape from 1975 and replay that so that we know the next time she come up here, I'm going to treat her a certain way. We don't want to let stuff go. We don't want to let things go. We don't want to love beyond and see beyond the faults when he even saw, but he saw beyond ours. How are we, as Christians, walking out our love? How are we walking out the same things that God has given us, that he's provided for us, that he created? He took us in, and it's almost like we are ungrateful children. When I think about it, even as a gift, and, you know, if you're giving somebody something, they're like, thank you. That's nice. Thank you. Oh, you're so sweet. Knowing that it's just like that. This is the same type of attitude that is being portrayed to God. And in that, we need to understand the fullness of his love. And when we understand the breadth of that, and we understand how his love is limitless, we'll begin to understand that our love should be a little bit more than what we're doing right now. I know we are a creature of limitation, and I know we are in recovery. So knowing is half the battle. Now that we know better, we gotta what? Do better. Amen? God showed his limitless sacrifice. He gave his only begotten son. His one and only. And I wrestled with this a little because that sacrifice thing was toying with me a little bit, but I'll get into that. God literally put some skin in the game. Literally. And for those who don't really know what skin in the game means, it means to have a personal stake or investment in something. He didn't talk about it. He was about it. The fact that he wrapped himself up in flesh so that he can save some poor old limited souls like us shows that he gave the limitless sacrifice. And just imagine, God, who is limitless, became limited so that we can live limitless. The fact that he provided the ultimate sacrifice, even to this day, shows that even on our best day, we could not even compare to what God has done because it's already done. The ultimate sacrifice is already done. When we sacrifice, it's not for God, it's for ourselves. It's so that we can decrease our flesh so that we can be more obedient to what he is saying. That's why he's saying obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when we're at our lowest point, when we're in the land of plenty, we're not thinking about God. We're not thinking about how, you know, what can we do and how can we give and how can we love. But when we are decreasing ourselves to a point where it hurts, that's when we know that we need God. That's when it is, and that sacrifice is continual that we need to do in one way or another. I don't know what type of discipline we need to put ourselves in, but we need to be in that continual state of sacrifice. But that sacrifice, again, God, he's not even looking at that. He's already had the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and he said, I'm done. Y'all have done enough. Burning lambs, calves, all of this stuff, it's not enough. Let me provide my ultimate sacrifice so that I can do and so that you can live this wonderful life. Let me show you how great my love is so that I can wrap myself in flesh. Even in Proverbs 21:3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So it's our flesh that we need to contend with day to day to understand what it is that we need to do to have to be in the fullness of God. Then we have, it's quiet in here. Is this because, you know, I know we done lost an hour. You know, and I was in my feelings about that too. But then I had to rebuke. I had to repent. I said, Lord, I know. I'm not focused on the time. I know. I would say all the time, you know what? I'm no good until I gain that hour back in November. And I used to believe that, but that's me limited in my thinking. God is not even the owner of time. And here we are counting and measuring ourselves up against an hour. 60 minutes. 3,600 seconds. Come on. I asked my daughter this morning. She was like, Mommy, this is why I'm tired. She's like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, she's like, what time is it? I said, listen, it's time to get up. And why am I so tired? I said, yeah, we did. When did we lose this out? We already lost it. We gone. It's done and dusted. Oh, that's why I'm so tired. No, just go to bed early tonight. But that's that limited thinking that we tend to do and how we govern ourselves. So God shows us his nature in having a limitless audience. And the key word is the whosoever. That's key, right? That's real. And if we were not so limited in our thinking, then we would not think ourselves higher than we ought. We would not put races on top of another. We would not think that one gender is higher than another. The whosoever is whosoever. It's important that whosoever, and I'm so glad that God put this in there. He knew to put that in there because of our limited thinking, we would not function this way. Okay? We would continue, and that's why we have racism. That's why we have sexism. That's why we have denominations that think that only 144,000 of them are going to make it into heaven. Right. Whosoever that accepts this gift shall be saved. And we should be glad this morning because that there's no limitations of how we are and who we are, what condition we're in. Sometimes we're so ashamed because we don't think we're great enough to even come and accept that gift. Whosoever means whosoever. He loves you. He already loved you before you were even created. He even knew that place that you were going to be at today, whether it's your lowest or your highest. But he still has that gift that's waiting for whosoever. And then we have the limitless provision. I thank God that we serve a God of plenty. Okay? Because he said, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in that, you can bundle up grace and mercy and all of that. But that is provision that God has given to us. He gave more of himself so that we could have more life and have it more abundantly. In Psalms 34:10, it says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because we have and we're serving a God of limitless supply, our giving should be different. We're in Christ Jesus. As Reverend Holt say all the time, my father owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. To understand that we're connected to an endless and a we can't even fathom because we're focused on our 99 cent that we got in our bank account. And the interest that's drawn out after that. God will supply all of our needs, but we have to understand and how we align ourselves and how our relationship, right? So that we can understand what our God and our daddy does. He's sitting out there with sitting on everything. And we just don't even go and ask. All right. I can't even imagine my kids not coming and asking me for anything. Because okay. That's every day. Yes. That's why he said be like children. Because I'm nagging him every single day. The fact that he is the one that has everything and that there is no lack. We should understand and live a little differently and think a little differently. Mm-hmm. That's a promise. We read it as a scripture and just keep it moving. But this is something that he wants us to believe so that we may stand out and be the more effective witnesses for him. In that he's living an eternal life with Christ is not only living in the afterlife with God, but it's also living a life, eternal life on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not even just the after the, when you're dead, because we already know we're limited in our skin. We know we have an expiration date. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he had given us all of this now to take advantage of now, and the fact that we just turn our back on it and walk with so much lack and so much, it's bothering me right now. Because this is my thinking as well. And sometimes, it takes me a while, okay? Sometimes when I get it, I get it. It takes me a while to process things. I got to think about it. I got to look. And then be like, oh, Tracy, you just figured that out? Yeah. But I got it. I'm in it. I just want the light bulb is here. It's clicked. Yes. And I just want everyone else to understand how important it is to understand that our God, who is abundant in riches and in glory and in grace and in mercy, is awaiting for us. He's waiting for us to come. He's already given us this gift of salvation. We've taken it and we put that box on the shelf. We have not used it. And we keep functioning that way. And that's how our witness is becoming more and more effective, how the millennials are not interested in church anymore, how all of these folks are not understanding why things are happening because we're not being effective witnesses on behalf of the kingdom. We need to take the limits off. We need to take the limits off. In knowing the things that he has given us and the promises that he has given us, the scriptures that he reminds us over and over again, knowing that you have to take the limits off when he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You have to take the limits off when you know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know you can take the limits off when you are the head and not the tail. You know you can take the limits off when there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. You have to take the limits off because it says give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken, running together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with measure you use it, it will be measured to you. You have to take the limits off when God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think according to the power that works within us. You have to take the limits off when he allows you to let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Yes. You have to take the limits off when you know that who the Son sets free is free indeed. We have to take the limits off. We have to understand that the more that we understand and the more that we know the promises of God, we have to believe it. Yes. We have to be to a point where it's not even a doubt in our mind what God can do.
Yes.
We got to know that when we cling to the source of Christ Jesus, when we're bound to Jesus, we are free to do anything. Yes. And that's because in Jesus, there ain't no foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Come on, girl.
In Jesus, there ain't no second guessing. Yeah. In Jesus, there's no doubt in your mind. Mm-hmm. In Jesus, you are just as stayed, as steadfast, and persevering, and doing all those things because Christ has given you that strength, and you know where your help is coming from.
Yes.
You have to take the limits off. In our thinking, in our doing, in every single thing that we do. It's hard for us to even imagine, but again, in the look, it was crazy. In the ironing this morning. If we just allow him in the little things and know that he can do every direct, Lord, even tell me how I'm going to wear my hair today. Okay. Tell me what kind of shoes I'm going to wear today. Let me know how I need to dress. Let me know how I need to look. Let him in everything so that you can begin to take those limits off. That's where your healing begins. That's where you'll be able to go out and heal those who are sick. That's not something that stays in the Bible. God has provided gifts and empowered people to do so. You know that?
Amen.
And we sit here and we ask and we call in the pastor and we call in the ministerial staff. We've been empowered. Each and every one of us have been empowered.
Yes.
If we would just take the limits off.
Yes.
Just take the limits off. As we stand to our feet. There may be one.